Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, August 8th, 2019. Rhonda brought up emails. Let me just address that real quick. If we're exchanging emails, first of all, people keep asking. There are a number of emails I've put out over the years, addresses, that is. The one to use right now, the best one, I would say going forward, is rwrhost@therwr.com. RWR as in Road Warrior Radio host, rwrhost@therwr.com. That's the best one. And emails to other email addresses is fine, but that's the one that I keep an eye on for this stuff the most. And, you know, I used a Gmail address. It's actually a work-related Gmail address for a while, mainly because of the issue that Rhonda talked about. So emails that go through, I mean, most people have an Gmail account, a Hotmail, a Windows Live, an AOL account from the old days or something of that nature. And it just seemed easier at a certain point to use those platforms, because if you're not using the preferred platform and you're not keeping up with all of the latest, greatest security protocols and so on and so on, then, you know, on your server, basically, if your email server is not maintaining those protocols, then you get, you know, you might get blacklisted or flagged as spam or something like that, what Rhonda was talking about. And these days it seems pretty sort of self-evident to a lot of us, you know, like I maintain my own. I don't really care to have anybody. It's not a server that I keep in the closet. It's actually a co-located server, but so it's not actually my server, but it's a server that I maintain personally, for better or worse. And, you know, that way I know exactly what eyes are looking at stuff, and I don't want anyone peering in any more than I absolutely have to. And we all know that there are eyes, but I'm not going to make the heavy lifting any easier for anybody than I absolutely have to, if that makes sense. Anyway, it seems, you know, some of us have come to a place where it feels like that's the best way to handle things these days, to maintain control and autonomy over, you know, email exchanges and things, and not have prying eyes be looking in. So that's my choice, regardless of what platform other people use. So the problem is, you know, the other hosting companies, ISPs, et cetera, you know, especially the Googles and the Microsofts and the Amazons, all want to dictate security protocols and so forth. And, you know, on the face of it, that seems like a good idea, seems reasonable, but, you know, we if you have any familiarity with the industry, you quickly bump up against the, you know, the what Alan Watt calls the good reason and the real reason issue in that discussion. And, you know, the fact that, for example, Google recently has been proven to really not care that much about security. What was the article that I read, I think yesterday, about how now Chrome will give you better security if you sign in? You know, it's just, it's a little thing. You know, we just want to look inside your purse. We just need you to sign in. That's all. So maybe, you know what, don't use Chrome. Well, the problem is that every browser is based on the Chromium stack. Well, maybe don't use it then. At some point, we're going to have to make hard decisions. I've been saying this for a while, right? We've been hearing this. We've been talking about it for a long, long time. But recently, this year in particular, I've been saying all year, we are bumping up against really literally having to make some very difficult decisions, I think. Now we're going into next year, definitely, I think we're going to see some, it's going to start to get real interesting and real serious. What was the other thing that I was thinking about? Rhonda was talking about, I was saying about central banking, I forget. Anyway, so the point is, with regard to email, the best thing we can do is to whitelist one another. Maybe keep an eye on our spam and our junk folders. And whitelist each other. You know, so if I get a message from you, it shouldn't be a problem because of the protocols that I maintain on the server that I maintain. So I feel like I don't really have a problem with the spam and the junk stuff getting flagged and pulled in. It does happen sometimes, but not too much, and it doesn't get disappeared like it does in Gmail and the other platforms for me on my end. So I feel like I'm doing all right there and I'm seeing stuff. But if you're using, especially if you're using one of those platforms and we're exchanging emails, the best thing you could probably do is whitelist that email address or whatever email address you're using to send me stuff. And that's probably good advice for other, you know, I don't know, whatever you call it, non-establishmentarian type communications or whatever. Anyway, word to the wise, maybe whitelist those addresses, whether it's mine or someone else's. So the Isaiah 8 subject matter calls to mind one of the anecdotes I was going to share. I'll share that maybe too, and then we'll go back to the phones. Isaiah 8 passage I just read, and specifically, you know, the dire nature of the situation. Isaiah 8:19, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists and who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? And then basically dire consequences follow. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. That's not good. Reminds me of a lot of other passages. You look at 2 Chronicles 7, for example. God says, you know, if I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, yikes. You know, then of course you read verse 14, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Who? Chain of command. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. But again, we have an induced anemia, an induced amnesia, and a programmed state of learned helplessness. So we need to, I hate that expression, take back your power. But, you know, people need to reclaim and recapture and sort of revive and reinvigorate their personal power and accountability and responsibility. We all need to do that, especially as 2 Chronicles 7:14 points out, my people, capital M, who are called by my name, capital M. But it reminds me of these parallel passages like Hosea 4. You know, I was thinking of Hosea 4, speaking of the dressing down of the chain of command. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, case against everyone. But then the chain of command is dressed down because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. You know, let me back up. So listen to the word of the Lord, you guys, the keepers of the oracles of God, because you had a responsibility to disseminate this information to the inhabitants of the land. But because you didn't do your duty, you didn't honor your responsibility, I'm calling you to account, basically, is what was happening. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land who do not know the oracles that were supposed to be properly and effectively disseminated. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, what do we see in America today? Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, what is there? Verse 2, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Sounds like America. And what I've said for years is, it sounds like the recipe for a blockbuster, you know, Bruckheimer Simpson movie, or name your producer, director, whatever team of choice, blockbuster movie. That's the plot scenario, you know, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, employing violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. For decades now. You want a blockbuster movie? There's your recipe. That's America today. And so what happens? Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. You know, hold on a second. Stop. Don't start finger pointing. Anyway, so, you know, I think of that. I think of Amos chapter 8, which I mentioned from time to time, the famine. You know, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, verse 11, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord, people will stagger from sea to sea. And from north even to the east, they will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And, you know, there are other adverse consequences. So you look at these things, you see basically that's a little different, but still contextually relevant. And there are other passages. So you look at these moments and, man, I was going to mention today that fire season in the Northwest is in full swing now, you know, in Western Montana, for example, and in many places, like we've seen in recent years. It used to be maybe every 5, maybe every 10, maybe 20 years, you'd see a bad year where, gosh, the small towns were engulfed in smoke. You couldn't even see the hills around the little town that were just a mile or two away. And now that's pretty much every year, every summer. And geoengineering is definitely a subject that should be front of mind, but I also think of these the possible spiritual connotations in, at least in my thinking. And again, it's not to ambush anyone, just to share my own thoughts. And so to that quick anecdote and then moving on. So two things. I think of in this context, you know, the sort of, I mean, how can you not? I'm just saying, how can you not, seeing what's happening in America at a certain point, how can you not step back and have apocalyptic visions based on what's happening? Catastrophic, you know, consequences. And even nature seems to be in the throes of and convulsions of the trauma that we're all experiencing. Anyway, like I said, whenever I can, I prefer writing. And I've been doing that for years, you know. Ridden around the Northwest for years, grew up in that area, grew up, you know, driving around with the windows down, that kind of stuff, you know, 470 AC or 270 AC, driving with two windows down, doing 70, that kind of thing. But this year I've noticed as fire season has come on, in particular, you know, when you're riding, you observe things you don't when you're driving. People have noted, you know, especially smells. You can smell things. And one of the things that I smelled this year, I've never smelled before in my recollection ever, is the smell of rotting carcasses everywhere during fire season. So I'm wondering, we've talked about fire season over the last few years. I'll table the spiritual stuff, spiritual implications and overtones in my mind. But, you know, just looking at the physical aspect of things, I'm wondering this year, you know, the record fire season that we've had the last 2 or 3 years in particular, how many of these animals are being driven out of their habitat. I mean, one of the things that people are commenting about in Western Montana in particular is the fact that the animals are driven closer and closer to the highway. A lot of people, including myself, are seeing elk down on the roadside, which is very uncharacteristic. Now it's kind of a normal thing. You see cows and calves often, for example, down by the roadside or running across the road. And historically, they like to be at least a mile or maybe 2 or 3 miles from the nearest road. What is driving them to the road? Could it be the super predators from northern Canada? Could it be the fires that have decimated their habitat and their grazing areas? And the fact that now, since the loggers are not managing the forests anymore, that used to be a thing. You know, basically, if you can find an old logger, you ask them, you know, and we hear what we hear in the media, but you find one of those old loggers who was out there back, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you can find one of those guys, and they will tell you the elk herds followed the loggers. Why? Because they'd clear an area, and that would turn into a grazing field or meadow. Basically, where the loggers went, the food went. So the elk herds would follow the loggers. You don't have that anymore. Where's the food? Now there's all this overgrowth that burns very well, by the way. And so if you're destroying that sort of ecosystem that was working pretty well, and that keeps all of those animals up in the higher country away from the roads, not getting hit by cars, you know, not being destroyed and destroying vehicles and, you know, injuring people and so forth. I mean, it seems like not a bad idea. Why wouldn't we do that? Oh, because we want to rewild the North American continent. That's right. But it's interesting to me. What is the ripple effect, the butterfly effect? Don't like that either. That has resulted in these rotting carcasses everywhere that you can smell. I mean, you go from one small town to another. If you've driven through Montana, you know what I'm talking about, where it's 100 miles from town to town. You know, you have a little community. There is no urban sprawl, effectively, in Montana. You go 100 miles from town to town. Here's a town, 100 miles later, another town, 100 miles later, another town. It's kind of how it works. But along the way, this year, like no other year I've experienced, you go from town to town, and it's just the smell of rotting carcasses littering the road along your trip. And that coupled with the smoke-filled sky, people say, oh, it's such a beautiful sky, isn't it? Yeah, geoengineering makes beautiful sunsets. It sure does. And the fires that geoengineering causes sure make beautiful sunsets. So seeing the fire and the smoke in the hills, not being able to see the mountains, smelling rotting carcasses along the way, how can you not have these apocalyptic visions in your mind? So that's one anecdote I was going to share. It's just whatever. For whatever it's worth, it definitely has left an impression on my mind and my emotions. The other anecdote I'll share real quick is haying. I started to mention this the other day. Lost you for a second there. Actually, it was me that got lost. So the other anecdote, what can we do? Well, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of the immigrants, this is a tangent, but, you know, related. So, you know, these people are taking jobs. Well, why don't we do those jobs? And maybe while we're at it, since inflation is the invisible tax and wages clearly do not keep pace with inflation, the invisible tax, maybe we should get rid of the source of the invisible tax, the central banking, fiat money, you know, specious currency, fractional reserve banking nonsense. Maybe we should get rid of that. Then we don't have inflation. Effectively, finish the anecdote. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. We're at this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So the other anecdote quickly, and back to the phones, I started to share this the other day. I don't think I finished talking to a guy that I used to hay for in high school recently, you know, basically telling lies with the old guys kind of thing. And he, you know, we talked about haying, because I used to hay for him, and talk about, you know, those days and how things are different. And he just shared, you know, unprompted, unsolicited, just in his, what he was talking about. He said, yeah, you know, I didn't go to the round baler until I couldn't find kids to hay anymore. So he was trying to not do that, not make the change, you know, the technocratic change, even though it was probably good for his bottom line. Trying not to do that, to, because it's a good thing. Though it may be, at least in the short term, good for the bottom line, it's definitely not good long term in a variety of ways. You know, young people learning how to put in a hard but honest day's work, long hard days sometimes, and you know, especially for those people who have hay fever. I have a friend who used to get hay fever really bad. Big strong guy, but man, hay fever would kick in and he was miserable. And you're covered in that stuff by the end of the day, throwing bales over your head. But, you know, this guy who is, I mean, that was a staple of the area for young kids. I mean, gosh, man, if you could throw some bales, you could make some money as a kid. And so not having that opportunity is unfortunate. Now, you know, you don't even have guys like this anymore who are willing to hold the line in spite of the bottom line. They just, you know, the siren song of technocracy. You don't have to worry about people not showing up because, you know, where can you find? I have joked. We used to say good help is hard to find. Now I say good help is an oxymoron. That's unfortunate. But we should be working in the opposite direction. All of us. What do you do? Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Chris. You know, talking about haying, you can't, they went round bale here probably 15 years ago because you can't find a young man that you want me to pick up what?
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever done it, man, you talk about work. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got a 14 or 15 year old young guy feeling his oats and he comes mm-hmm. home, my son done it. And he comes home and he doesn't even want to eat. He just wants to go to bed. You know, and it's good for you, man. That's
absolutely. That's and what's well, I think what's really kind of fun too is, you know, if you're a halfway observant young man, you know, like you said, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever, and you're throwing bales, you're chucking them, making it look easy, if there is such a thing. But you look at guys like this guy I'm talking about, you know, and 50, 60 years old, he could do it with the best of them and not get his shirt dirty. There are lessons in those things for those who are paying attention.
Well, not just that, Chris. You know, you gotta cut it, then you gotta put it in windrows. It's gotta dry. You gotta bale. Wouldn't it be sad? I mean, my son done it on about a 300-acre hayfield. Wouldn't it be terrible to do all that work and then you can't get it out of the field and you lose it? I mean,
yeah.
Or it's all wet because no one will pick it up. You know, I guess develop. Anyway, Rhonda prompted my call when she talked about the movie trailer, and I don't recall the name of it, but if you'll allow me, about 7 or 8 years ago, I wrote an allegory for Darren Weeks on Govern America, Gilligan's Island, an allegory. And if you want to know what's going to happen in America and around the world, look at every situation comedy that Sherwood Schwartz wrote and put on TV that we were laughing at when I was a kid, because Gilligan's Island is a picture of America. They actually had a hunter, an episode back in 67 called The Hunter, where this big game hunter came to the island. There was nothing to hunt, so he decided to hunt Gilligan, and we laughed. Now, here's this movie that's coming out, and, you know, it's not only predictive programming, but I believe that God has made it necessary for the one that's trying to be the devourer and the destroyer, seeking whom he may devour, he's got to tell what he's going to do. It's whether or not you hear it, whether or not you see it, whether or not you comprehend it, whether or not you remember what you've seen and laughed at on the television programming, you know, even to the point of being ridiculous. When you think about the Addams Family and the Munsters, and I dream of the Jenny, you know, I dream of the Jen. Well, they made the genie to Barbara Eden of all things, man.
Of course.
Barbara Eden. Is that her real name? You know, was Jim Backus' real name Jim Backus?
You are tuned in.
Look up the meaning of Backus.
Exactly. We're heading into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, August 8th, 2019. And we're on the phones. We have John in Tennessee on the line. Sherwood Schwartz is an interesting character. The stuff that he worked on is interesting, like you said, Gilligan's Island in particular. But Yeah, Barbara Eden was born Barbara Jean Moorhead, as I understand it. Jim Backus, that was his actual name. But yeah, Hollywood is notorious for this. And, you know, speaking of that, it's interesting. I was, you know, one of the movie channels played In Line of Fire yesterday. Clint Eastwood. What's her name? Rene Russo. 1993. And that was one of the movies that Fred Thompson starred in. And it's interesting, you start to look at these figures, not to get too far afield on this, but, you know, the folks who come from basically the perfect background for CIA malfeasance, you know, maybe they were an orphan or broken home kind of thing. That's Rene Russo's background, as I understand it. And people who are a good crossover for movies and politics. What did they say? DC is the ugly person's Hollywood or whatever, an attractive person's Hollywood. And so you get the picture of just actors, basically, people who have no identity of their own. And that's a mental illness, and there is a correlation there to the other stuff that I talked about earlier, particularly cluster B personality disorders, if you want to investigate that. But it's just interesting how Hollywood and Washington, D.C. seem to recruit people either like that with a background that lends itself to playing a role, however disingenuous it may be, and very convincingly, of course, or the person, I would say maybe and or, the person who comes from maybe a pedigreed background but is very happy to do the same thing, to play a role. Because it's
there's
fun.
There's a payoff. There's a payoff, you know?
Yeah.
Fred Thompson right. was in a little town down here called Lawrenceburg, and Lawrenceburg was the first city in my life that I've seen traffic lights with cameras. Lawrenceburg, a little country town in middle southern middle Tennessee. So anyway, yeah. If you'll allow me, I'd like to elaborate just on the Munsters, okay? As a child,
sure.
I watched it and I laughed. I thought it was funny. My parents, yeah. The church, remained silent. Let me kind of run down what I see now, knowing what I know and knowing what's coming. You talk about predictive programming. I'll do this very quickly, okay? You got a vampire for a grandpa, okay? Drinks blood. You have a mother that dies every night with a son that is a werewolf, okay? I never asked myself as a young man, how does that work, you know? Well, it's clear, and I'm not going to go there, but that's clear. Okay, then you've got your father is a golem. You know, he's an animated part of 20 different people, a Frankenstein, and poor Marilyn has perfect clean genealogy, her genetic, she's a human. Poor Marilyn, she's so ugly, she's never going to get married. Think about this, people.
Yeah,
and the church
the Orwellian inversion, yeah.
Yeah, and the church was silent back at that time. They wanted kids in church, so what do? Well, they bring a clown and a magician to draw kids into a Christian church. Everyone loves Bozo the Clown and Mr. Magician. He can fill the buses. We can get their parents in. And I'm not saying that they even knew what they were doing. That's the sad part. They didn't know what they were doing. Then you go to the Addams Family, and you got a giant for a butler with multiple rows of teeth, probably six fingers and six toes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Grandma that's a witch, crazy uncle, a little boy that loves to torment animals, a sister that is psychotic, a father that makes money selling short, and a mother that these pesky flowers are getting in the way of my thorns, and then a cousin that no one knows what it is. I mean, think mm-hmm. about this. And we were laughing, and they were getting rich. And they were saying, oh, boy, these people are stupid. Call themselves Christians. You're making us rich. all of it, Chris. And I don't know. I didn't mean to take you off topic, but that's small stuff to compare to what's going on now. True Stream Media put a video out where, what's his name? Elon Musk is joking about this neural lace. It's so small, local anesthetic. You'll never know it. And don't worry, you won't be forced to do it. And he's laughing and making stupid jokes while he's trying to present how good it's going to be because it's a wearable technology. And like you've said so many times, if you're putting it in your body, who's wearing who? Are you wearing it or is it wearing you? That's a no-brainer.
Which Michio Kaku seems to not understand. Yeah.
Right. And you're putting it in the computer that God gave you and said, guard your mind. Be ye changed by the renewing of your mind. And you're giving science and technology because you like your junk. You like your stuff. You're letting them renew your mind, but they're not renewing your mind. They're destroying your mind. And you're inviting it in. And you're saying, sure would like to stop this stuff while you go get your $1,000 iPhone. Sure would like to stop this stuff while you're bringing the talk to me thing in the house that is emailing your intimate conversations with your better half to people randomly off of your email list, and you're saying, what's the temperature outside, whatever the things, I don't even know what they're called. What's the weather a week from today? And it'll tell you.
I mean, you know, and we're inviting
when
I see that. Exactly. And when I see that, I think of, you know, again, that video, what the heck is it called? The Freddie Wong video that was, you know, Google Glass video. What the heck is it? Close Call is what it's titled. And for those who, you know, don't understand how absurd that technology is, I just don't understand, you know, it has no appreciable benefit or value that I can see. There's nothing you can't do with a device you already have. And so anyway, I think Freddie Wong's Close Call video really illustrates the absurdity of it. I digress.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me today. Okay, by law, as a truck driver, I'm mandated to have hands-free device. So I've got on a Bluetooth headset. That's what I'm talking through. I didn't have it on. I had it on my head, but I wasn't using it. I was talking to someone, and I finished up the conversation. I said, thanks, I appreciate it. And my phone, Chris, said, I'm just doing my job. No problem.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm still wearing a headset. But, hey, I'm just doing my job. No problem.
Yeah.
We are absolutely conscripted. You've got to have it. You've got to have email. If you want to do business, if you want to get a notification from your bank on your mortgage or whatever, you know, you paid something off, they're not going to send you paper unless you ask. They'll send you emails all day long. Anyway, I'll make room, man. It's we're in a time, so look, if you don't mind, they can go to governamerica.com, go to opinions, scroll down to John in Tennessee. It's been years since I've put anything up there. A lot of the links are probably dead. But I came across this stuff 15 years ago. I started writing about it in 2009. And of all things, I didn't know who Google was. I had a Google blog that was evaporated because I didn't back anything up. And I guess they decided they didn't want anyone to read it. So I posted an article and went to read the article, see how it shows up on the page because it had hyperlinks. This blog no longer exists. So you talk about people having YouTube channels closed down. I had a blog 10 years ago. Just went away. Anyway, I'll make room, man. It's interesting. They are... I believe, made to tell us the truth. And it's up to us to hear.
Absolutely.
So,
and you have to hear through the sophistry. Absolutely. You have to read between the lines, no doubt.
You, like you said, absolutely. You've got to have the decoder ring, man. Got to have it.
Absolutely.
You don't have it,
and
you can get Hebrews, it
at three. Yep, absolutely. Hebrews 5, having our, through practice, having our senses trained to discern good and evil. Yep, absolutely.
Then you become a fool for Christ and people think you're crazy.
Yep.
Hallelujah, all I can say.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks,
man. And thank you, John. Appreciate it. While we're on the subject, you know, it was, what was it, 2 Corinthians 12, I want to say? 11 or 12? You know, boasting in your weakness. That's another one of those discussions. Therefore, I will boast in my weakness. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12. For my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You know, and you have bad guys. You know, getting back to Rhonda's thing, we'll go back to the phone in 2 seconds. Two things real quick. Bad guys, you can imagine, like Rhonda was saying, you know, about her email. We pay for everything, so we own everything. Well, first of all, it's a disingenuous argument, like every other argument that people like that would advance. It's predicated on lies and logical fallacies. You don't pay for everything. You have hijacked the wealth of the world through this specious currency system. You are not, you know, that's a whole separate discussion. But, you know, even if we say, you know, we pay for everything, so we own everything, it's a disingenuous argument, because people are not, you know, there is a sort of corollary to that where you can hear certain people saying, well, you know, how dare these, the disdainful, you know, like I've said, whatever the word is that I can't.
To reach is currently.
All right, disdainful and incredulous is the word I'm thinking of. Incredulous, the response. You know, how dare these people, you know, guys like David Rockefeller, you could imagine, for example, saying, how dare they be, you know, how dare they look their noses down on the gifts that we've given them. We've allowed them to benefit from these disparities. You know, they get all of this stuff for cheap and whatever. Well, first of all, again, disingenuous arguments predicated on a mountain of logical fallacies. Who said that we wanted those things in the first place? The Bernaysian propaganda brought in Alvin Toffler's, you know, prosumer mindset. People were programmed in very manipulative, malicious, underhanded, subversive sorts of ways. So these are not choices people have made of their own free will, their own volition. Anyway, that's a whole, you know, so you can see how that discussion would go. The other thing, in the interest of time, I won't stick on that, but another, speaking of video games, you know, I mentioned earlier the NBC News piece a couple of days ago, fact check, are video games and mass shootings linked? There's a bigger concern. I was saying earlier there are bigger concerns, and just to touch on that before we go back to the phones real quick, you know, I keep mentioning, I try to bring up game theory, among other things, speaking of Rosetta Stones, of how programming works, how to program people. You have cybernetics, you have B.F. Skinner and operant conditioning, and you have Rand Corporation game theory. These are Rosetta Stones, I would say, in understanding how this programming works. And Rand Corporation game theory, coming out of the 70s, and the iterative prisoner's dilemma, in particular, as the winning strategy, you have that plus, you know, the CIA employing this, you know, guys like Larry send me clips from 3 Days of the Condor from time to time. Remember, starring Robert Redford, Faye Dunaway, Cliff Robertson, Max von Sydow. We play games. That's what we do. We play games. So I mentioned In the Line of Fire, and there are those exchanges between Clint Eastwood's character and John Malkovich's character where, you know, Malkovich is trained, he's a trained assassin for the CIA, now gone rogue, Clint Eastwood's Secret Service agent. And in the exchanges, just as an oversimplification, again, it's a Hollywood portrayal, but, you know, you have Clint Eastwood's character talking about how this is real. Hey, people are, you just killed my partner. This is real life. This is real stuff. You're a sick person. No, we're not friends. And to Malkovich's character, it's just a fun game. This is how he gets off, so to speak. Now, this is, it's titillating. It's entertaining. It's just a game. We play games. And so when you think about that and you think about what kids have said, I mean, we've played the clips of, you know, mainstream news accounts of young people coming out of Creech Air Force Base for years, bombing people thousands of miles away, and, you know, young people being interviewed saying, I can't get that image out of my mind. I wasn't there. I didn't physically shoot someone. You know, I didn't shoulder a rifle and shoot someone. But even though I only saw it on a screen, I have nightmares. I can't get that out of my mind. The games were essential in that conditioning. But as a just, you know, further examination, if we step back and we look at game theory and how it's used to predictively program folks, imagine the impact that has when you're talking about, you know, kids like, what's his name? You know, the Fortnite champ, whatever his name is, I forget. World Cup, Kyle Giersdorf. You know, what are the implications? Game theory is programming children in the same sort of fashion. You know, it's one of the ground level building blocks of all this other stuff that we're talking about anyway. So that to me is even a deeper concern perhaps than the, it's, I would say, at least equal to the first person shooter, you know, probable link to that and violence. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. Back to the phones. John in Louisiana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, just real quick, I just wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Becoming the Archetype?
I think so, but I'm not certain. Becoming
the
Archetype.
They did a cover of How Great Thou Art, and then there's another good song on that album, He is Clothed in Greatness. I thought you might find that interesting. And I just wanted to know, where did you find that version of Creep with the female vocalist?
That's from Postmodern Jukebox, Haley Reinhardt. And everything that Scott does over at Postmodern Jukebox is pretty amazing, I'd say.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
thank
so
you,
they do, you bet, they do covers of stuff. Postmodern Jukebox. Yeah, Haley Reinhardt's cover of Creep is pretty awesome. I'd say I prefer it, but everything they do is fun. There are some others that we've played in the past, and who knows, maybe we should return to that. But yeah, it's a talented group of folks, and I really appreciate the wholesome spin or the wholesome whatever, you know, the wholesome arrangement that I believe is spearheaded by Scott Bradley, Postmodern Jukebox. So, anyway, yeah, some super talented folks. Haley Reinhardt is extremely talented. And really everybody that you see perform with Postmodern Jukebox, and obviously not the least of whom Scott Bradley. And it's only been around for a few years, not that long. I think they really got popular around 2012, 13, something like that. But it was pretty quick, I'd say. You just kind of reading the Wikipedia entry, it's fun. So, you know, they've covered all kinds of things. They cover, you know, like the Wikipedia entry says, Lady Gaga, The Strokes, Katy Perry, The White Stripes, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Miley Cyrus. But, you know, they go back and, you know, and lots of other contemporary artists, but they go back and they cover. And so it's fun. They do these kind of, what do you call it? I mean, Scott Bradley has talked about how he does ragtime stuff a lot. And it's the retro cover, basically, of stuff kind of like, again, Haley Reinhardt's cover of Creep. So it's fun stuff to listen to. I think it's always, I can't think of a postmodern jukebox cover that doesn't feel uplifting. It always feels like they do stuff better, quite frankly. So anyway, not to get too centered on that, but yeah, that's kind of a fun thing to follow from time to time. If you're looking for something uplifting, sometimes listening to postmodern jukebox stuff is fun. Anyway, I think we'll kind of try to tie some of this stuff up in tomorrow's broadcast. Let me just conclude with this. Oh, by the way, today is the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, they begin today. I'm sorry I couldn't help myself. I believe there's validity to what Dick Gregory said about Tiger Woods, and I hope Tiger breaks Jack's record and Sam's. No offense to either of them, as I hold both of them in high regard, but you know, super talented guy. You know, Sam Snead could apparently use a hickory knot on a rope to hit a golf ball as well as anyone, which is pretty amazing. Anyway, Jack Nicklaus, talented guy. But I will conclude with this. The article, Psychology Today, I mentioned March 6, 2016 article, Beware America's Shocking Loss of Empathy. This excerpt, and we'll conclude it on this note, it's noteworthy and undeniable that two antonyms of empathy, disdain and indifference, have become the cornerstone of American politics. Now, we're out of time. Actually, maybe I'll start with those tomorrow. Empathic and compassionate policy does not require that a society sacrifice its well-being for the betterment of strangers. This, to me, is a, you know, could be a corollary of the gun discussion. And so many other discussions. We'll probably pick up there, try to, you know, put a nice big bow around all of this discussion for the last couple of weeks tomorrow. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.